The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 196 of the podcast. Join me again today, as he does very often, from RedsMinorLeagues.com and from Red Leg Nation, our guy Doug Gray. How are you doing today, Doug?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself, Chad?
Oh, just living the dream. The Reds are amazing. They won today.
They won in a comeback fashion too. That's the best part.
Oh, they were down 6-1.
Yeah, it was great to listen to. I mean, I always prefer to watch the game, but I always enjoy a comeback win. And I mean, even if it's spring training, it doesn't really matter. It feels a little bit better at the end of the day when you can look up and see that W on the board.
Well, let me ask you this: they came back from a 6-1 deficit. So, am I analyzing this correctly in saying that this team is a juggernaut and probably can't be stopped this year?
I would have to agree with you. I mean, I look at how things have gone today, and it seems like they're never going to lose again. So,
yeah, I really don't think they're going to. They may drop a game or two at some point.
Yeah, but really, like, that's only just going to be to show people that, you know, they have compassion in their hearts. That's all.
Yes, that's why Brian Price loses games. Spring training is going on right now, and the Reds, when they're not winning games, there's still a lot of interesting things to watch. And something that, to me, has been one of the more interesting things to watch this spring has been the pitching. That sort of was the number one, well, maybe not number one. I'd say Nick Senzel playing shortstop is the number one storyline for me. But for in terms of what the team has to sort out, some of these pitchers and who's going to be in the starting rotation is what we need to really be paying attention to. And I guess Brandon Finnegan pitched today, first time, I think. It was they couldn't get a B game, right? So it was an inter-squad scrimmage?
Yeah.
Basically, inter-squad game?
Yeah, you know, he gave up a two-run home run, but he said that he felt good. He was throwing two of his three pitches. So, I mean, at this point, it's more just about him feeling fine after an outing. Obviously, you know, you'll really have a better idea of how he feels tomorrow after he kind of comes back that next day, but... good signs that he's actually back out on the mound, and you know he was able to get through it unscathed. As far as you know, injury goes, I don't think there was a big question with that, because while he did have shoulder surgery, that was a surgery he had on his non-pitching shoulder. So I don't know, but it's good to see him back out there.
No, I think absolutely. And to me, that's one of the you don't want to make too much of what's happening early in the spring. Certainly not based on the statistics or based on. What you're seeing, except I think there's reason to be hopeful by the fact that all these Reds pitchers who had all the struggles with injury last year, with the exception of one, Ricky Davis is still behind schedule, but all the rest of them are pitching. They're all apparently healthy coming into camp, and I'm talking about Finnegan. I'm talking about Homer Bailey. I'm talking about Anthony DeSclafani. Amir Garrett was hurt last year. It's to me, that's the part that gives you a little bit of optimism, because, hey, these guys are healthy. DeSclafani, you know, threw this week and looked pretty good. Been a while since we've seen that.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I think that, generally speaking, if everybody is healthy, the Reds rotation should be just a different level of better than we've seen the last couple of years. But they haven't been able to do that. And so, it's nice to see that. And, I mean, yes. It's just March 1st, and we've been down this road before on March 1st and felt that things were looking okay. But, I mean, it beats the alternative, Chad. It really does, because we've seen the alternative, and, man, it was not fun to watch.
That's a fact. And it could go south in a hurry. We've seen that before with this club, unfortunately. But right now, some of these guys that can really help the Reds staff advance over last year, they're healthy, most of them. And that, to me, that just... after what we experienced last year. Just seeing Anthony DeSclafani with his old stuff, basically. I mean, he's still getting into the season. He's only thrown two innings, I guess. But just seeing him be able to do that and feel good. And You know, Homer Bailey's throwing well. I think he pitches again tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to this. And Amir Garrett. What about Amir Garrett?
Yeah.
You're looking good, huh?
Talk about somebody that kind of came out kicking the door down. You know, last year you mentioned Amir was hurt. You know, it was early in the season, his hip started bothering him, and it didn't really get better until after the season, and he got treatment for it.
Well, he didn't tell anybody for a while during the season because, you know, he's a competitor, and he was trying to pitch through it, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you get that from time to time. You know, guys think that they can pitch through it and just, you know, suck it up and deal with it. And
especially a guy that's trying to really cement a place on the roster, he feels like he has to go out there and perform, or he'll get behind.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Amir, it didn't work out for him. But he got his treatments in the offseason. He came out and he absolutely dominated in his first outing. I mean, 4 strikeouts and 2 perfect innings. I mean, he was throwing 95 to 97 miles an hour, according to multiple reports. I mean, Amir didn't throw that hard last year at all.
Right.
And I mean,
his quote I thought was interesting was, "It's you know, fun to be able to go out and not worry about it when I land whether my hip's going to be killing me or that I can really throw now." It really makes you get a sense of how it affected his pitching last year.
It does. I mean, if you think about it, going into spring training last year, Amir Garrett was arguably the Reds' top pitching prospect in the entire organization. And, I mean, fairly or unfairly, he disappointed last year with his performance. Now, we obviously know one of the reasons why that happened now, but, you know, it could be a big season for Amir Garrett and for all of these young pitchers, to be honest, because I think that by the end of this year, the Reds are going to have a better idea of who is going to be in the rotation moving forward. And maybe some of those guys that aren't are going to be, they're going to be pushed into the bullpen with guys behind them coming up, kind of taking over that next in line for a rotation spot. And so it's a really big year for a guy like Amir who, you know, he kind of needs to establish what he's going to be moving forward. And I mean, he's out to a great start so far. And granted, it's just one outing, but Brian Price said that was the best stuff that he's ever seen from Amir Garrett.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if nothing else, he's showing things that he's never done before, and he did it in February. So hopefully he can build on that, because if Amir Garrett's healthy and he's showing all the potential he's got, I mean, if he doesn't make the rotation, that says a lot about how good the Reds pitching staff is actually going to be this year.
We'll probably say it 5 or 6 times here, and it's true. We don't need to make too much over a start or two in the spring or you know, in really much of any performance other than when you can see a guy's healthy and things like that. But you talked about Amir Garrett sort of coming out like he's on a mission. And another one of the young pitchers, Cody Reed, there were some quotes from him before he started. Like, you know, I've not been mentioned in the mix for that 5th starter spot. I want to come out and really prove that I should be in that. And you know, I'm still a big fan of Cody Reed, and I was really hopeful he'd do that. But, man, he's looked pretty – and, again, let's not make too much of spring because Brian Price says he's throwing a lot more strikes, and that's what they asked him to do, and he's working on some of his pitches. But he's not gotten the results, certainly, like he had hoped. He's the one that wanted to come out like a house of fire and earn that spot like Garrett has started. Where are we with Cody Reed? Where do you see the Reds going with Cody Reed this year?
That's a big question, Chad. Personally, I think that he needs to go back to AAA and just continue to work on whatever it is that he and the Reds are working on with him right now.
As a starter, right?
Well, I think that it all depends on what they want to do with everybody else. I think that the Reds are so deep right now that there's a chance that they could legitimately have 5 guys that are legitimate arms, not, you know, not your Vance Worley's out there or, you know, 30-year-old AAA veteran type guys, like 5 legitimate options that could be in the AAA rotation. If everybody stays healthy, that maybe they don't have room for Cody Reed in the AAA rotation if he doesn't perform well enough.
Yeah, maybe. Now, but if you put Cody Reed in the bullpen in AAA, his time as a starter is over forever.
But if he's going to be 11th on the depth chart, Chad, does that really matter?
Well, he's still an asset.
Well, he is an asset, but you've only got so much room for so many guys as starters.
I agree. I just hate to see a guy that – and maybe he'll never be a starter. But if they put him in the bullpen in AAA, the chances that he'll ever be a starter in the big leagues are essentially nil at that point.
Sure.
And maybe hey, listen, the Reds know more than I do about it. Maybe that's where Cody Reed's future is, and you know, I can see him being a shutdown left-handed reliever. But he's so young, I'm not ready to give up yet. And I don't think the Reds are either, but You're right. Hey, that best case scenario, it's never a bad thing to have too many solid pitchers, right?
No, it's definitely not, as we've seen the past couple of seasons, unfortunately. You can never have enough starting pitching.
They could have used a lot of starting pitching last year, and they didn't have very much of it. So, but Reed, you know, he's one to sort of watch. He's not started out well. Price has been very complimentary, as I said. I look forward to watching Amir Garrett more, because if he can really continue to put up the performances he has so far, he's got to be in that mix. The other guy who's really come out looking awfully good early is a guy that's just, this might be my favorite of all the young guys, even though he doesn't wow any scouts anywhere. And that's Tyler Mahle. You know, he just keeps getting hitters out. I don't care where he's playing, what team he's playing for, who he's playing against. This kid just has always gotten hitters out. I love this kid. I want him in the opening day rotation.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make the opening day rotation.
I think the Reds can
manipulate that service time a little bit, get that extra time out of him. And, and it's not like, he's going to have to beat out Sal Romano, Robert Stevenson, Michael Lorenzen. I mean, there's legitimate competition there. But, Tyler Mahle's second appearance, that game was on television. So if you were at home, or you watched on your phone, or you went back and watched it later, you got a chance to see him pitch. And, I mean, you're right. He was outstanding. I've always mentioned with Tyler that, I'm not sure that I see a secondary put away pitch from him. And a lot of guys that your put away pitch, it's, one of your off speed pitches, whether it's your changeup, slider, curveball, whatever. That's the pitch the guys go to get hitters to strike out. I don't think Tyler has that pitch right now. But you know what he does do? And he does it better than just about anybody in baseball, and I'm including major leaguers here. He can do things with his fastball. I mean, he can throw it anywhere he wants in the strike zone. He changes speeds with it. He can make it cut. He can bring it across the plate. I mean, he can move the ball in any direction he wants to and put it where he wants. I think that the fastball can be his put-away pitch. And you can't really say that for a lot of guys. I mean, even guys that throw 100 miles an hour, they don't really use the fastball as the put-away pitch too often. I think that he's a guy that can do that, because he can just – his fastball, it's four different pitches. And he can locate all of them wherever he wants to. I just think that it's a special pitch that, when you look at it on the scouting report, the raw grade doesn't really work for that pitch because of all the different things he can do with it. And that's just the thing that I love so much about when I watch Tyler Mahle pitch. It's just it's something you don't see from other guys too often.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to say here. This is your lead pipe cinch guarantee. It's a lock. This is a guarantee. Write it down today. Tyler Mahle is going to be better than Greg Maddux. I mean, I'm just telling you. There can be no argument about that. It's obvious that it's going to be true. So he probably needs to be in the starting rotation from day one, and probably the number one starter.
I mean, if he's going to be better than Greg Maddux, I will agree with you there.
Finally, you agree with some common sense.
Well, there's a first time for everything, but don't get used to it.
Man. No, I think that if he continues to just keep getting hitters out, there's just not going to be able to keep him in AAA. And independent on whether injuries, you never know. Just knock on wood here. No injuries to the pitching staff this spring, please. But, I mean, he could still be on the opening day rotation. But I agree. Probably he's going to be, all other things being equal, going to be on the outside looking in. But he'll be in Cincinnati soon and for a long time. What other young pitchers do we need to talk about here this spring? Michael Lorenzen got a little bit, looked decent, early, and then today got knocked around a little bit by the White Sox in that huge come-from-behind victory for the Cincinnati Reds, the juggernaut Cincinnati Reds. Lorenzen is a guy that I've been wanting to see get a shot. We've talked about it on the podcast a number of times. We've talked about it at redlegnation.com. Wanted to see him get a shot in the rotation for a couple reasons. Number one, he's got a live arm. Clearly, he's a talented pitcher, and he has, been very explicit about his desire to be a starting pitcher. He's wanted to. So the Reds, I don't know if they're just giving lip service to it this year, but they're, they appear to be giving him an actual shot to win a spot in the rotation. And if they are giving him a legitimate shot, I'll say the same thing as I was saying before as to why they should have given him a shot, was that what's the harm? If he doesn't make the rotation, he's still got a pretty good reliever there. So you know, today was a setback, but is there any chance, I guess this is the question I'll ask you, Doug, is there any chance that Michael Lorenzen wins a spot in that rotation?
I mean, there's a chance, but I think that it's very small.
Yeah,
and I would have said that before he went out and he struggled today. You know, I've been on the record saying that I think that they are just kind of giving him lip service as to really competing for a job in the rotation. I think that he would have to significantly outperform both statistically and just look better, you know, on the eye test than the other guys in order to get the job. I think that he's been too far gone as a starting pitcher. And I think they just prefer him in the bullpen. I think that he profiles a little bit better there. I think the Reds believe that he profiles better there. So today was definitely a step back, and I think that if he has another – I don't want to say an outing as bad as he had today, but if he has another hiccup along the way, I think that they'll probably – I don't know. I think that they'll probably start looking at him more as a relief option, even in spring training, you know, kind of maybe give some of those innings to one of the other guys that are – you know, vying for that starting position or a starting rotation spot, because, you know, as you get further in spring training, those starting innings, they're harder to come by.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know whether they're paying lip service to it. I think that he had a legit chance to win a spot, but I think you're right that it was going to depend on him seriously outperforming everyone else in the mix. And even to an extent, the stats had to be there. You know, we always say, don't look at the stats in the spring, but you know, you can tell how a guy's throwing him. I think even he had to have the stats at the end of spring to sort of justify them taking a chance. It's outside the box a little bit. You don't see it that often these days. Earl Weaver used to do stuff like that, bring a guy up as a reliever and then transition him to the rotation. You know, I hope they're giving him a legit shot. I agree it's probably slim chance he's going to make it. But if he could make it, that's why I said there's no harm in trying. If he could make it, that's another young, live arm that's in the mix. And it gives you just at least a percentage more higher chance of putting together a really solid rotation the next few years. So, I don't know. What other – we've talked about Finnegan. We've talked about Garrett, Lorenzen, Reed, Miley. What other young pitchers are we forgetting?
Sal Romano's gotten off to a strong start.
He has. Sal Romano. The guy that's probably in the driver's seat for that fifth rotation spot, don't you think?
I think so. I think that, you know, Brian Price mentioned Sal Romano and Robert Stevenson were kind of in that first tier for that number five spot. With the start Sal's gotten out to, I think that he's probably slightly ahead. You know, he's given up two runs in 4.2 innings, although one of those runs, it shouldn't really count against him. Apparently, Scott Shepard called off Philip Irvin the other day of a ball that Phil was pretty much stationed under, and then the ball hit the ground and no one touched it, so it wasn't an error. So it goes down as an earned run when it really shouldn't have been. But, you know, Sal's looked good according to all reports. He's got one walk, five strikeouts, and 4.2 innings. With what he did in the second half last year, you know, he performed well. So he's got that track record to lean on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's looking really good this spring, and, you know, probably the leader in the clubhouse for the fifth spot. Not in the clubhouse yet, but probably the leader. But, you know, a lot of that's because of the fact that he was pretty doggone good as a rookie last year.
Yeah, especially once he started trusting his changeup. I mean, once he really got into the mindset that I can throw my changeup to big leaguers, that's when everything changed last year for Sal Romano. You know, if you go back and you look at his game log, he really started trusting it in that ninth start of his.
Mm-hmm.
And he made 16 starts last year. So look at the first eight starts versus the second eight starts. It's night and day. Like, it looks like you're looking at a completely different pitcher.
Oh, you know, I was in the stands for his major league debut, and he was trying to throw the ball through the backstop. I mean, you know.
To be fair, I think he did twice.
I think so. We were one section over. I think I've talked about it on the podcast. One section over from a huge group of his friends and family that were cheering his every move. And, you know,
with the 27 Romano jerseys on?
Yes. He was, you know, he was pumped up, and later in the year, he sort of started trusting this stuff. And really, for a rookie, what, 23 years old? Last year, you know, you can't ask for a whole lot more. He was roughly even with the sort of rough start, a league average pitcher overall. So, you know, he would have to really, to me, he would really have to, something would have to go wrong for him to not have the edge for that fifth spot. Again, if everybody stays healthy and everybody performs as we expect. But so then the question becomes, what do you do with Robert Stevenson? He's starting at AAA, I guess.
If it were up to me, absolutely. If assuming that he doesn't win the fifth starter spot. But, you know, we saw last year what they did with Robert Stevenson, and they put him in the bullpen. Now, will they do that again? I don't know. I feel that, you know, it's at one point last year, Dick Williams kind of had to step in and make the decision for Brian Price.
Yeah.
Because it felt like Brian Price just wasn't going to use him on any sort of regular basis in the bullpen, and that drastically affected his performance.
Yeah, he sat out there for a week and a half at one point.
Yeah, so...
Smoking cigarettes in the bullpen. What was that all about?
Well, no, I don't want to go that far, that. No, but... Maybe. But no, I think that the Reds would send him back to AAA and work as a starter if you know it comes down to him either going to the bullpen where you don't know if you're going to use him or not, or you know getting him regular work just in case something does happen. He could be one of the guys you get to choose from to come up and you know take over a spot in the rotation if you need it.
Yeah, and you will need it. It's rare that you don't.
It's almost inevitable. Yeah. I mean the. You know, I think us as Reds fans get a little bit spoiled because we did have 161 out of 162 a couple years ago, all from five starters. But that's just an unrealistic expectation for any Major League Baseball team.
It is.
Now, what I found interesting with Stevenson, and I'll try and make this short, is that he didn't pitch any sort of live batting practice or anything before he went into his first game. That's weird to me. Now, he had some sort of like something was going on with his neck. He slept on it funny, or it was something weird was going on there. And so he didn't get to throw like live batting practice to anybody before he went out and pitched in a game. And I found that a little bit strange. I don't know. I just get this weird feeling with how Robert Stevenson's been treated by Brian Price. And I'm not saying that he's doing anything on purpose. It might just all be weird coincidence, but I did find that a little bit strange.
Yeah, that comes back to something else that is going to be another running storyline this year, which is Brian Price. And how does the fact that he's clearly, everyone knows he's managing for his job, how does that affect the way he handles the roster? You know, I think of a guy like Jesse Winker, who are all, he's got to get 550 at-bats this year to me. 500, give me 500, I'll take that. You know, how does the fact that he's a rookie still and Schebler and Duvall hit over 30 home runs last year. How does Brian Price in his head manage all that playing time? And worry's not the right word, but I'm keeping an eye on whether he manages this team differently because he thinks he has to sort of win now, which I guess he kind of does to save his job versus a guy, you know, bringing along a guy like Stevenson that if he can figure it out can be a guy for the next 5-6 years that can really help the team. So that's to me, that's one of the, that may be the biggest storyline as the season starts. Agree? Disagree? No?
Yeah, I mean...
Have I bored you to death?
No, I wasn't sure exactly how I wanted to respond with that. But no, I agree. And I don't necessarily blame Brian Price for it because in his mind, I mean, he's got 1 year to make or break his next step, whether it's going to be with the Reds or with somebody else.
And if you think somebody else gives him a better chance than Robert Stevenson today in this game, you know, on April 12th or something, he's probably going to go with the other guy. And, you can't hardly argue with that. Now, I'll tell you this, though, and I've said it before, and I'm going to probably say it all the way up until opening day. I'm sort of being open-minded about Brian Price. I think he's done some good things. I think that he's been sort of tarred with a lot of things that weren't really his fault. He's been put behind the eight ball a little bit as a manager. He's done some things that are worthy of criticism. But my opinion of a Brian Price is probably going to be cemented on opening day by whether they're in the order and where in the order Jesse Winker and Billy Hamilton are. If Billy Hamilton's leading off on opening day, and Billy's my favorite player, love him to death, he needs to be batting eighth or ninth. If Billy Hamilton is leading off, and if Jesse Winker is either not in the lineup or not hitting up at the top while Billy Hamilton is, then I'm probably done with Brian Price. That'll probably be the last straw. Is that unreasonable?
I don't think it's unreasonable, but at the same time, I think that personally, I have a good feeling that you already know what's going to happen.
I do.
Am I right?
So. I'm afraid so, yeah. I think that Winker's going to be on the bench on opening day, and Billy Hamilton's going to be leading off. And that'd be it. I'll be done with Price at that point. I probably should be done. A lot of Reds fans are, but...
I mean, it was earlier last week, Brian Price mentioned that, you know, the lineup isn't set and he doesn't really know who's going to hit where. And I just couldn't figure out what that comment meant, because Jesse Winker is the only guy coming into the lineup that didn't play all of last year. Like, who are you expecting to change and be a drastically different person than what they were last year?
Well, if you're being optimistic, if you're sitting here talking about it and trying to be optimistic, you could say, well, you know, Brian Price has to manage these personalities in the clubhouse, and he's trying to ease Billy Hamilton into the idea that he's not a leadoff hitter, because Hamilton said straight out, I want to be a leadoff hitter. So, you know.
I want to be married to Anna Kendrick, too, but, you know, I also understand my limitations.
Exactly, but the manager's got to manage these guys. He's still got to have Billy Hamilton, you know, he's still got to have him fully engaged, and that's my hope, is that he's just trying to sort of ease him into this. And by saying that he's not sure if Billy Hamilton's going to lead off, because he did say that, he's not sure who his leadoff hitter is going to be. Maybe if we're early in the spring, you know, I'm trying to be charitable here towards Brian Price right now. But I'm telling you, if Billy Hamilton's leading off on opening day, then it shows that either Brian Price does not understand what it takes to score runs, does not understand lineup construction, does not understand how important it is to have table setters at the top of the order. Or it means that the Reds baseball ops guys haven't stepped in to force his hand, because that'll be as much a failure of the front office, frankly, as it would be Brian Price's if they permit that to happen in a year where everyone's talking about we've got to start winning more, because, you know, Joey Votto's been very vocal, and general manager Dick Williams has said, hey, you know, he's right. We got to start turning it around at some point. So that's just going to signal to me it's going to be deflating on opening day if Billy Hamilton's leading off. Oh, I hate saying that because I love the guy. But
at the same time, you want the Reds to win too. And that just – it just makes sense that it would probably be better for the Reds scoring runs if he weren't leading off.
Yeah. And, you know, you can justify having him in the lineup. He's good enough defensively.
I mean, let's be real. I don't think there's an argument there's a better center fielder on the team right now.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I that's not to say that I think that Billy Hamilton's some great overall center fielder. I think that he's clearly outstanding defensively. But overall, I think there's a lot of better center fielders in the Major League Baseball. But in the Major League Baseball. I'm really good with words, guys, let me tell you. But
none of those guys play for the Reds, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's very clear that he's the best option. So in the lineup, yes. At the top of the lineup, oh, please no. Please, please no.
It's going to happen, though, isn't it?
I think it will. Unfortunately, I think that it will happen.
Am I being overly dramatic by saying that, you know, that's going to be the moment where I'm just – apathy may even start to set in.
We all have our breaking point, Chad. If that's yours, I've seen worse. So, let's go with no on that one. That's not too bad for you.
Well, we'll see. And I hate to sound like I'm criticizing Billy Hamilton. It's just that at this point, Billy Hamilton is what Billy Hamilton is, and I love the things he does that help the team. Getting on base in front of Joey Votto is not one of those things. What else quickly about spring? You know, I'm going to sort of use this as a transition to talk about something that's going on in spring and also transition into, I understand you know a thing or two, you sort of follow the Reds minor league system, and I think MLB.com Pipeline came out with their top 30 Reds prospects this week, and at the top of the list is a guy that, I mentioned him earlier, but Nick Senzel is, you know, by all reports, handling shortstop fine, you know, I don't think you and I have spoken about this because Jason Linden and I did it, and we're just sort of giddy over the idea that Nick Senzel could play shortstop, because then if when he finally gets to the big leagues, Billy Hamilton is your only real sinkhole in the lineup, and that just changes the way the lineup looks to me. Am I getting what do you think? Can Senzel stick at shortstop based on what you've heard and seen?
I have no idea, and pretty much anybody that I've talked to also still has no idea.
Yeah, still learning.
I mean, realistically, I mean, even the people that are out in Goodyear, I mean, they've seen him take batting practice ground balls and guys hitting him ground balls. And in games, he's taken, four ground balls in the games. I mean, you know, you hear people say, well, you can make up for his range by shifting. And, you know, and that, you know, that helps. That does help a little bit. You know, we've got better information now than we've ever had before on the tendencies of where guys hit the baseball. But that's only a part of it. You know, sometimes guys don't hit it exactly where they're expected to hit it. And so I think the biggest thing for Nick is going to be just getting comfortable there. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that in enough time for, you know, to start April and look like he's ready to just handle shortstop every day in the major leagues. You know, that's probably going to be something to go down to AAA and work on.
Well, there's your justification to send him down.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, it's unlikely that he would be ready either way. But even if he is, the Reds can pull the whole Cubs and Chris Bryant thing and be like, oh, well, he needs to work on his defense and then bring him up, you know, 2 weeks later if he's just totally ready.
But that's legitimate, though. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more legitimate in this situation than when Chris Bryant OPS 1600 and they're like, oh, he needs to work on his defense down at AAA, and they brought him up 11 days later.
Yeah. He'll need actual game action. But you
and Jason are both right. If he can play shortstop, even to the point where he's just not the worst defensive shortstop in baseball, it changes not just the Reds lineup. I think that it kind of changes the Reds' future a little bit.
It changes the way I look at the whole rebuild.
It really does. I mean, you basically went from having an outstanding prospect in Nick Senzel to arguably having the best prospect in baseball in Nick Senzel.
Yeah.
And that's just
– from having
the value there is huge because, one, it answers a question that the organization has a problem with right now.
Yeah.
And with all due respect to Jose Peraza, he's not going to be as good as Nick Senzel if Nick Senzel can play at shortstop. He's just not. There's no way.
Well, to me, it looks like you're going from a Nick Senzel ceiling as a sort of an all-star third baseman to possibly an MVP candidate at shortstop if he's even average with the glove.
Absolutely. I mean, if you give him an average glove, you're talking about a guy who can hit 290 with, you know, 60 extra base hits.
Yeah.
Who's going to get on base, you know, 38% of the time. I mean, that's those guys. There's two of those guys in baseball.
Absolutely. So it's exciting, and that's something we're probably going to talk about every single podcast until it's determined that he can't play shortstop, because it just has such huge implications for this rebuilding process.
Well, let's just hope that we talk about it for the next 20 years then, because you did say until he can't play shortstop anymore.
Exactly. So. Now you're talking. Let's run through a few of these minor league guys. Minor league camp starting, or has started, I guess.
The pitchers and catchers reported yesterday,
right?
Or well, maybe 2 days ago, depending on when you're listening to this. But yes,
this MLB pipeline top 30. I know you're the rankings guy, so I trust yours way more. Do you find it as completely outrageous? I mean, I'm on my soapbox here. Completely outrageous that Nick Hansen is ranked 28th.
Let me ask you this: why do you think that it's completely outrageous?
Because I never heard of Nick Hansen.
Oh, okay. Well, he was the Reds' third-round pick 2 years ago. Big, strong-arm guy, could throw in the upper 90s. Had Tommy John surgery, missed all of last year.
I try to make a joke, and you've got all these facts and figures to throw out at me. That's why I love having you on, Doug.
I'm too literal, Chad. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I can't help it. I got all this information. I just want to give it to everybody.
No, I love it. I love it. 27th, Jose Lopez. That seems low to me.
That seemed low to me, too. And I the argument you can make, I guess, is that Jose Lopez doesn't have that huge upside. He's kind of more of a number good number four, solid number three kind of upside guy. But, yeah, it felt a little bit low to me because he's on the verge of the major leagues right now.
I don't know anything, but I saw that guy throw the other day. Didn't he pitch in a game the other day?
He looked great.
Yeah, I mean, he just looked like he had some stuff. And, again, what do I know? But that was
I mean, he's a four-pitch guy. And, you know, one of the scouts I – talked to after one of the starts I saw him make last year in Pensacola. Yeah, he called it his fastball the invisible because he hides it so well. And I mean, he's only throwing it 92, 95 miles an hour, so it's not like overpowering, but it plays up so much better than the velocity suggests, because you can't see it until after he's released the ball.
How close is he to the big leagues?
I mean, realistically, I think he could probably be a number five starter right now. Mm-hmm. If you want him to come in and be a little bit better than that, he's probably going to need some time in AAA. He's never made a start in AAA, but he's a guy, he throws lots of strikes. He's got four pitches. I mean, there's plenty to like there.
Guy in his first spring training in the Cincinnati Reds organization, one of my good buddies, the number two prospect, Hunter Green. What do we look for out of Hunter Green this year? He's still like, 14 years old?
Yeah, I mean, Hunter's going to be 18 years old all of this baseball season. I mean, realistically, all that I'm looking for is just that he gets through the season healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's realistically all I want to see. Obviously, you'd like to see the numbers backed up with performance, but with the sheer amount of talent he's got at his age, I just want to see him get through the entire season without getting hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I look at this list here, and I look at the top seven guys, and what excites me is, of course, the Reds were ranked as the eighth best farm system in all of baseball, which I think that's probably fair, which is pretty good. But I look at one, two, three, four of the top seven guys could conceivably have a Reds jersey on at some point this year. I'm talking about Nick Senzel, Jesse Winker, Tyler Mahle, and I think Shed Long, even if it's just a September call up, because he's on the 40-man now, right?
Yes, he is.
So, are we starting to see the fruits of some of this draft and develop start to finally filter into the big league roster? And should I be as excited as I am about it?
Well, I mean, I can't accurately judge how excited you are, but I think we're all on the right page then. We've started to see the pitching over the last couple of years kind of filter its way into, mixed results. But I think the position guys are the ones that are they're kind of getting there. They're on the verge right now of us starting to really see some of the difference makers. I mean, Jesse Winker and Nick Senzel are probably both going to be up in the first half with the Reds at some point. I mean, Jesse Winker is going to be. We know that for a fact.
Yeah. And Senzel probably will be.
Yeah, probably will be. I mean, if not, that's a good thing for the Reds because that means everybody's performing very well.
Right, yeah.
Because it seems that there's multiple options for where you could conceivably put Nick Senzel. So, I think you're right. Shed Long, probably a guy you may see him in the second half. September's probably more likely. I think he's going to head back to AA this year. But, yeah, I mean, we're finally starting to see some of these position players get up there and be on the verge of helping the major league team, whereas over the past couple of years, it's kind of just been the pitchers that we've been looking forward to.
Sure. And, Shed Long, if he has another good year this year, I think you're right, he probably does start at AA Pensacola, but I think he'll be at Louisville at some point, you would think, again, presuming good health and continued production. And he's a guy that I see maybe getting that September call-up. But then you move into 2019, and he's a guy that starts to be in the mix. Is he, can he be counted on to take over at second base at some point? So these guys starting to filter through is, I don't want Brian Price to screw it up because there's so many reasons to be optimistic. And when he hits Billy Hamilton first, I'm just going to – RedLegNation.com is going to become a Red Sox blog. RedSoxNation.com.
I'll just let you know right now, I will not be writing about the Red Sox. So if you do make that change, you're going to have to find somebody else to write on Wednesday mornings.
All right, well – how about Wednesdays? So, we talk about the Reds and every other day.
So just know that's my threat. So.
Well, I can't take you up on that one, but I don't know. But anyway, that's exciting to me, And some of these other guys, top 10, Jose Siri's there. Tyler Stevenson's a guy that I'm excited to see if he can stay healthy. But Aristides Aquino, who is he? Is he the guy we saw last year or the guy we saw the year before? What do you think? Any opinion on that?
I think he's probably a guy that's kind of in between both of those. The power is absolutely real. The arm is real, although I think it does get overrated a little bit just because he had something insane like 28 assists 2 years ago, and his arm's not that good. It's a very good arm, but it's not that good. But I think he's a better hitter than he showed last year, but I definitely think there are reasons to be concerned that maybe he's a guy who, isn't going to be a major league quality hitter. So, whether he can start it or not, that's kind of a question because I'm not sure he's going to hit enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with all these guys this spring, as they're all reporting, beginning to report the minor league guys. And then some of these other guys that we've talked about are here and, on the verge. It's exciting. It can be a very exciting time to be a Reds fan. If things, go well this year, this could be a fun year. Going to wrap it up right about there, Doug, but I'm going to, I forgot to remind you. So we're going to do a quick, very quick movie review here. I'll go ahead and do mine first. Let me look and see which recent movie I've seen that I want to recommend. Ah, here we go. The Florida Project. The Florida Project, for those of you that haven't heard, it's by a director named Sean Baker. His first movie, I don't think I recommended this on the last time we were together, but his first movie he directed or filmed it entirely with an iPhone, and it was just it was called Tangerine. It's sort of a bizarre movie, but it was good enough. The Florida Project is basically follows these two kids, two or three kids, at times friends living in Florida. They're living in this sort of long-term hotel, colored purple, just outside of Disney World in Orlando, and it's called the Magic Castle, but it's no affiliation with Disney World. It's just these people. It's a sort of a slice of life of these, you know, single mom, and it's just a just crazy. And then it's about the guy. Willem Dafoe plays the guy that runs the place, and he of course got an Oscar nomination for it. And how he's trying to be a father figure in some ways, how he's trying to keep everybody's lives together, and just an absolute fantastic movie. I give it 4.5 stars out of 5, and really thought it should have been nominated for Best Picture. I'm a little surprised it wasn't. Just it was that good. So, The Florida Project, starring Willem Dafoe. You got something for us, Doug?
Unfortunately, I do not. Baseball season started, Chad. I don't have time to watch anything right now.
Well, I watched that.
I don't.
I watched that one the week before spring training, okay. Before pitchers and catchers reported. So I've been hanging on to that one. So next time, you better get one for us.
I'll try and squeeze in a movie some one of these days. So
yeah,
I'll be more prepared next time.
Doug, it's baseball season. Forget the movies.
I agree completely. It is baseball season. It's much better than watching movies.
Hey, one thing I did want to mention to you, I thought you might be proud of me because I subscribed to MILB.TV this year. What do you think about that, Doug Gray?
I want to clap for you, but I don't want to hurt everybody's ears. It's the best $50 that I spend every year, although I'm guessing that you added it on to your MLB.TV subscription.
Yeah, they
had much cheaper than that.
They had that package where some, I can't remember what it was, $25 to add it on to your MLB.TV. And I said, yeah, that's definitely worth that. So if only so I can watch Nick Senzel early this year and pretend he's wearing a Reds uniform.
You don't have to squint too hard.
That's true. All right, Doug, anything else we need to talk about?
I think we did a pretty good job cramming all of this stuff into about 40 minutes for everybody. So
that's right. So, Doug, appreciate you joining us again. Doug's obviously at RedsMinorLeagues.com. You can read about the Reds minor leagues, strangely as that sounds. Doug's also at DougDirt24 on Twitter. You can find him at Red Leg Nation every Wednesday morning as he looks at the minor leaguers and what's going on in the minor league camp right now. You can find me on Twitter at DotsonC. We're at Red Leg Nation on Twitter, and then RedLegNation.com, where we've been following the Reds, the ins and outs, every single day, practically since 2005, which is hard to believe. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. As I say just about every time, I know you could be doing anything with your time, and you're spending it listening to us just talk nonsense about this crazy team that's so frustrating. Don't bat him lead off Brian Price. But you chose to spend it with us, and I do appreciate that. Tell your friends if you like us. If you don't like us, as I always say, keep your mouth shut. Give us a rating, review, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, we're there. And subscribe, if you would, and tell your friends about it. All right, Doug, I think I've run through all the particulars. Appreciate you joining me again, buddy.
Not a problem. Always fun to be on.
Yeah, we'll talk again really soon. For Doug Gray, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.